Welcome back. It is David from the 5x5, and this is the 5x5 late night show. And it is definitely late today. You know, sometimes I kind of jump all over the place, but I do apologize. I scheduled this for 1 a.m., but I was finishing American Horror Story Season 2. I watched the whole season in 2 days, although it's only 12 episodes. I did get to watch it in 2 days. Hey, Ken Boggle. What's up? I was saying that this was scheduled for 1 o'clock and now it's like 1:40. And I had scheduled this for one. I said that like 4 or 5 times. And I was finishing American Horror Story Season 2. I watched bits and pieces of it. I talked about this the other night. I can't remember exactly how much of Season 2 that I watched, but I know I didn't get to the end because the whole alien thing and it was just, to me, it was a more sci-fi than horror, even though they had the little demon nun thing going on that she was kind of, that was kind of the horror part, but it didn't appeal to me. But so I decided to watch it. So that's what I did. And I really enjoyed it. I didn't like the way it ended. And I hope that this season, the current season, season 3, Coven doesn't end as, you know, kind of abruptly. You know, they had one little turn there at the end, but I was expecting the aliens to come back and grab her son that was from Bloody Face or Bloody Mask or whoever he was called, and it didn't happen, but she blew his brains out. So if you haven't seen season 2, sorry. It's on Netflix though, so you can check out both season 1 and season 2 of American Horror Story, and catch season 3 every Wednesday night on FX. Anyway, I took the day off. I told you guys that I was going to take the day off. I took the day off, and it wasn't so much of a day off. I had to go to a wake this morning. My mother and I went to a wake before. They had a wake before the funeral. One of my childhood friends, which I guess I would say high school friends, but she went to prom. We were close. She went to prom with me my senior year. Her mother had passed, so and my mother happened to know her, so we went and paid our respects. And black people in funerals just crack me up. Have you guys seen the video on YouTube? And I don't know what you would type in. I'll have to find it and put it on the blog because it's hilarious. And now I think the thing that's going around on Facebook now is like, I want somebody to do this at my funeral. And I think they're Jamaican because they're the Jamaican or Creole because they're speaking French. They could have been Haitian. They're probably Haitian. And the lady is up at the casket and she's jumping up and down and acting a fool, and she gets to screaming and doing some kind of cheer. Then she hits the ground and she rolls back and forth in front of the casket until somebody actually picks her up and sits her down. But black funerals, they're something to behold. And I'm not going to disrespect the my friend's mother's memory, but I was being annoyed. Maybe because I got up too early, but I was really annoyed when I was there, because I wanted to tell some people to sit their black ass down, but I couldn't do that because I was only a few feet away from the casket, and normally that kind of stuff, I've said it before, that kind of stuff weirds me out. But I wasn't weird. I wanted to see my friend, and I had an opportunity to reconnect and give her a little support. And it's funny how you have friends that Facebook is one thing when you're talking to friends on Facebook and chatting them up, and but you're not really in their lives, and you're just kind of on their kind of on the outskirts of their lives, because nobody puts everything on Facebook. I would hope not. And that's who she is to me. But we just kind of fell back into the same roles. And she did say something funny. She's like, every day, if I'm, well, she's like, when I'm having a bad day, I know I can go to your Facebook page and I will find something on there that will make me laugh and smile. And she's like, yeah, that's the David that I love. And I'm like, oh, that's really, really sweet. So I like that. And I'm gonna say goodbye and everything. And did that. And I had planned to, maybe lunch today somewhere, and I want. My thing is, I have a day off, and I want to do something. I just want to be a bum. But then on my way back home, it got the snowing and acting crazy outside, and I was like, ugh, just forget it. So I came back home, laid on the sofa, and continued to do my American Horror Story marathon. So, but that was fine. And then I had text my niece and ask if what time she got off. I said, let's go grab some coffee or something this evening. So she's all, oh, cool, that'll be fun. And so I roll over to my sister's house to grab her, and my nephew feels as though he has to be involved in everything she and I do. Like, there's sometimes that I want to have, because my niece is grown, and I said this on, I recorded an episode of The Drive today, and I'll have that out later. But sometimes I want us to have our time so we can talk. When she's 22 and he's 11, and some things that I can talk to her now because she is an adult that I can't say around him. And so he's so funny and so very transparent. I'm kind of chatting with my sister and talking to my niece, and I grab my keys to go or kind of chit chatting. And so he's in the living room playing on his 3DS, Nintendo 3DS, and so I'm watching him. And so, and thing is, I know these kids so well that they might as well be my kids because I know them. So I jingle my keys, and so he looks up and he thinks he's not. He thinks he's being slick, but I see him cut a little side eye at me, and then look back at his game. I'm like, oh, he wants to go. Not that I didn't want him to go; it's totally fine. But I wanted to have some uncle niece time. But and so I said, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, and so my sister looks at me, and she gives me this, you need to take him look. And I'm like, well, I said, well, we'll see you later. And my niece is like, and she wants to be with me by herself as well. She's like, deuces. And he's like, I guess y'all can have a good time. What time are you coming back? So he starts throwing all these questions out at us. And so he looks at me and just had that little pleading puppy look. And of course, I had a friend that used to call me Uncle Daddy. Being the Uncle Daddy, and not to be confused with Uncle Grandpa, being the Uncle Daddy that I am, I just said three words: grab your coat. He jumps up off that sofa like somebody had lit a fire up under him. And he's like, I gotta find my shoes. I gotta find my shoes. And he's like, and my sister, she's like, you gonna leave me? He says, yep. And but that makes me feel sick. They want to be around me all the time, but I don't get to spend that much time with him anymore since he's in school and I'm working and the weather hasn't been the best. So I'm glad to get to spend that time with him. I need to cut his hair, but I didn't feel like doing it tonight. So we had a good time. We ended up going to Chipotle because I hadn't had Chipotle in a while, and I was like, well, let's go to dinner. And he doesn't eat Chipotle, so just to hang out with my niece and I, he suffered and sat down there and didn't eat anything and watched us eat Chipotle. The thing is, I go into Chipotle and then I see a friend of my enemies. Well, he's a friend. He was a friend of mine. He's a friend of theirs. And well, the enemy is the ex-boyfriend, the ex from long time ago. and which he took his side instead of mine, which was totally fine. You'll find out when they're crazy, but I can't tell you not to be stop being friends with them because that's not how I operate. And so he sees me and he goes, "Oh, hey, David, where you been?" I'm like, "I haven't been here," talking about the city. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I just cooking the meat." I'm like, "I see." And I still live on such and such. I'm like, "Oh, that's nice." And he's like, "All I'm gonna say is you were right." I said, I don't like being right. I just am." And then we kind of laughed about it. But, you know, whatever. Sometimes you have to find out things on your own. And I guess he found out. But we didn't even discuss what we kind of knew what we were talking about because we was in mixed company. We wasn't going to spill all the beans. But I have no desire to hang out with you. keep flipping that chicken meat. Anyhow, through the day. Hey, Grandpa Al Kruska. Good morning. Good morning to you too. Glad you're swinging in. I'm just chit-chatting. You know me. I get kind of long-winded and wordy. I probably put Ken Boggle to sleep there. Ken, are you asleep? Are you still with us? Oh, Ken Boggle may be asleep. Oh, no, Ken Boggle's not asleep. He's still up. Ken Boggle had his hair did today. That's what he said on Facebook, anyhow. And he's pregnant. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard it second here. anyhow, read a couple articles today. And so we're going to talk about which companies, which countries have the best male lovers. We're also going to give you a I'm going to say Itay Hud, the guy that outed Aaron Schock, update on him. And we're going to talk about type A personalities tonight, and then a couple other things that I have seen seen online. And then I had a thought there and it just kind of went away, maybe because I'm tired and then I had to go to work tomorrow. But I'll think about it. Hopefully, I'll think of it when we come back. So we'll go take a quick break, and we'll come back and do a little bit more chit chat, talk to the guys in the chat room, and just kind of hang out. And we didn't get to do the Google Hangout tonight, Ken. We'll be right back. All that ringing for was in that song. That didn't make no sense whatsoever. I forget that was the end of that song. I'm sorry, but we're back. I'm David. This is the 5x5 Late Night Show. Thank you guys for joining me tonight as I ramble, 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 and ramble some more. Before we get started on the main topics of tonight's show or this morning show or whatever show. Did y'all hear what Sherry Shepherd says? Now, you know Sherry Shepherd. She's a co-host on The View, and she's been on there for a while now. And she claims that she's not homophobic just because she believes homosexuality is a sin and LGBT people are going to hell. But she's not homophobic because she still loves us. And I'm like, Sherry Shepherd, I really don't care what you think, you know. And I seen on Instincts, they had a Facebook post today, and they was talking about what she said. She says, "I think people don't know my heart. I think people feel I'm very judgmental. I think people feel I'm very homophobic. If they knew me and knew my heart, you grow up being a Christian and you know, oh no, and you grow up believing homosexuality is a sin. You're going to hell if you're homosexual. This is something that they teach in churches. So it's something that I grew up believing." And I don't know if they necessarily are teaching that in all churches. I know she's a Jehovah's Witness, I think. And so I don't know if they're really, I don't know if they're, I haven't been to the Kingdom Hall, so I don't know. But let's talk about the part when y'all, where y'all wrote your own part of your Bible. We can talk about that, Sherry. I just hate the hypocrisy of it all, because still, people haven't learned a lesson. God didn't tell you to tell people who's going to hell. That's not reserved for you. You know, that's reserved for him and he alone. And and she's like, I might not agree with your lifestyle. And I was, somebody else said they were tired of the whole it's a lifestyle, whatever. And she said, I think people feel I'm very, she said, I might not agree with your lifestyle, but I love you. You may not agree with my lifestyle, but you love me. I don't say it's a choice. If you tell me, Sherry, I was born gay, okay, I'm not going to argue with you because I can't tell you how you feel and what's going on inside. I'm trying to make it into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't know who I'm going to see. So if you tell me you were born gay, I'm not going to argue with you, and I absolutely respect you for that. I just ask that people respect how I feel, respect how you feel, and we can have, and respect how you feel. How we feel, and we can have a great dialogue. But Sherry, I don't think you're smart enough to have that dialogue. You know, I've seen the buffoonery you do on the View. You want to be Whoopi Goldberg so bad that it's almost embarrassing, and I don't care. Just like I think she's a buffoon, I'm sure she can care less of what I have to say. And in turn, I could care less of what she has to say. Sherry Shepherd, I'm not going to cry about Sherry Shepherd thinks I made a lifestyle choice, one. And she thinks I'm going to hell because I know God didn't single-handedly give her that authority to go around and tell cherry pick things from the Bible and then attribute them to whomever and, you know, brandish them to hell. That's not what you were told to do. And it's so crazy, and I'm tired of that. And she needs to get a better weave and shut the hell up. Anyhow, moving on. Ken Moses, get it. She said, her view, hello, that bitch. Grandpa says, I'm a Christian. I believe everyone's God's children, and only thing that should matter is if your life has one of God's family. Love of one another can be anything between two people and not because of their gender. Live as one of God's family. Oh yeah, totally. But I think the sheep, the people who cannot think for themselves, I think they tend to believe that that they follow I don't know how I'm trying to say it. They want to be led instead of finding out for themselves or just taking a personal accountability for whatever religion they are, and using that to uplift instead of trying to exclude. And I think I've always said that, and I have a personal relationship with God that has nothing to do with anybody around me. But anyhow, Sherry Shepherd is a buzzkill, and she's ignorant. I guess she's trying to get a movie or something. Maybe she's trying to get on Duck Dynasty or something. I'm sure they'll take you in, you know. That Phil Robertson. So what else is going on? I was going to say something else about Chipotle, and I totally forgot what I was going to say. I did go to Best Buy tonight, and I looked for a mixer, and the one I think I'm going to get is $100, but then I had to get different micro. It's a USB one, but I had to get different microphones and XLR so I can do my whole show on Spreaker instead of part of it on Blog Talk Radio. But so I'm thinking about that, and I took the numbers down. I'm going to research it and see what people are saying about it. But it looked interesting. It looks fun, I guess. Oh, and I have an announcement. And I'd already told Ken this, so he already knew. But on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m., this is going to be in the afternoon, Central Standard Time, I will be talking to the sexy model, artist, actor, Trevor Wayne. And if you don't know who Trevor Wayne is, you should. He's a real tatted up dude, bald head, goatee. And if you look at his Tumblr page, you'll get a big education of who he is. But he's so gorgeous, has crazy eyes, very, very nice. I reached out to him earlier, well, latter part of last week, and he was very, very excited to be asked to do the show, which I told him, I says, I have a little show, it's nothing major. He's like, okay, whatever. He's like, just tell me when and where and I'll be there. I'm like, okay, so we're gonna do it on Wednesday at 1:30 because he's off during the daytime. So that's Wednesday 1:30 on Blog Talk Radio, and then Wednesday night I will air it live during a show or something. The interview from that day, so you'll be able to catch it twice. But the second time I'd be recorded, but I'll be airing it live. So Trevor Wayne, go to trevorwayne.net. He does this really kind of funky pop art with like bananas and food, and it's really kind of interesting. So you have to check out his website, check out his pictures, and I'm going to bring this up on the interview. Oh, so if you guys have any questions for Trevor Wayne, send me a tweet at the 5x5, and the fives are numeric, and also or send me an email, Facebook or whatever. So if you have any questions for Trevor, or if you want to listen in to the show, swing on by and ask your questions in the chat room, because the chat room will be open that day. So we're going to talk to him, and we're going to do another meet and greet. You know, last week we where was it this week? Today is Friday. Had to be last week. Last Thursday, we spoke with Alan Chen, and next week we'll be speaking. So every other week, I'm gonna try to bring you somebody new and interesting to meet. And Trevor has also been on. He's been on some television shows, and I spotted him out on a Charmed episode. And I tweeted, this is like 2 years ago. I tweeted him. I'm like, was that you I seen in Charmed? And he was like, yeah. So he probably doesn't remember that was me. And I didn't tell him at the email. He might think I'm a crazy stalker or something. So I'll ask him, does he remember that tweet when we talked to him on Wednesday? So what else is going on? Who's in the chat room? Sherry on Duck Dynasty. Okay, instead of a butt plug, maybe a whole duck. Possibly. That'd be cute. She can sit a duck on her head. It'd look better than some of them wigs she wears. Because some of them are a mess. But you know, black women and their hair, you can't go there. Well, I guess we need to take a really quick break again, because I've gotten off topic once again. You know how I can be. And then we'll come back and we're going to talk about what country has the best male lovers. We'll be right back.
Chasing money in a man-made car. Do you ever think about it? Don't you think it's bizarre? You're in the Milky Way floating around in the stars. It's like, who, what, when, where, why am I? And all the
this time we've been just a speck in the sky. It's like a cosmic joke that can make you laugh. Your whole existence is the sum of the cosmic mass. Well, if you woke up this morning, then it's a good day. If you woke up healthy, it's a good day. If you woke up refreshed, then it's a good day. So get up, get out, get on your way. If you woke up broke, it's still a good day. If you woke up diseased, it's still a good day. If you woke up exhausted, it's still a good day. Because you woke up, so get on your way. Now if you have some today, then give some away. Cause what you give will come back on another day. Not in the same form. And just so you know, what you reap is what you will eventually sow. Like if you rise to the top, you'll have to come back down to find your feet firmly planted back on the ground. And if you live by the gun, you might die by one. Because it only takes one shot to blot out the sun. Now if you woke up this morning, it's a good day. If you woke up healthy, it's a good day. If you woke up refreshed, then it's a good day. So get up, get out, get on your way. If you woke up broke, it's still a good day. And if you woke up diseased, it's still a good day. And if you woke up exhausted, it's still a good day. Because you woke up, so get on your way. Now when the lights go out for good, how will you turn them back on? Did you create yourself in a physical form? Did you breathe the breath of life into your lungs and make your heart beat since before you were one? Did you take two cells and make them four, then turn four into eight and make 8 million more? Did you realize one day that you were alive and forget that one day you would eventually die? Well, if you woke up this morning, then it's a good day. And if you woke up healthy, then it's a good day. If you woke up refreshed, then it's a good day. So get up, get out, get on your way. If you woke up broke, it's still a good day. And if you woke up diseased, it's still a good day. And if you woke up exhausted, still a good day. Because you woke up, now get on your way.
And we're back. Thank you guys for joining me tonight. It's David from the 5x5. And we're just chatting a little bit, talking to the guys in the chat room. We have Grandpa Al Kruska and my boy Ken Boggle from Ken Boggle Talk. And Ken had a really good show last night on, I guess it was, well, yeah, yesterday night on Spreaker. Really good. He needs to do more. So before we took a little song break, I said when we come back, we're going to talk about a survey that gave the countries and the reasons why they have the best male lovers. And this was a poll published on onepoll.com, and it surveyed 15,000 women, so it's already biased, from around the globe to rank countries with the best and worst male lovers. And so these are the full results. Number one, this is not the best. This is what they said. Germany, the men are too smelly. So I guess the men aren't washing their balls and stuff in Germany. What's up with that? I've never dated anybody from Germany. You know, but I'm not now, because that's one thing I cannot stand is a smelly ass man. Shit, I don't like it when I stink. Number two, they're saying that England, the men are too lazy. So I don't know if that's too lazy in bed, or too lazy don't want to go to work, or too lazy don't want to brush their teeth, because, you know, I've seen some English the teeth thing, you know, yeah, but I have a teeth fetish, so y'all can ignore me. The Swedes, Sweden, too quick. Holland, too dominating. Well, interesting. Who knew? I guess that little, wasn't Holland with the boy put his finger in the dike? Ew. A boy put his finger in the dike. Get it? Anyhow, America, ooh, too rough, really? American men are too rough. Greece, too lovey-dovey. Oh, I need to go to Greece. Ken Boggle, we're packing our bags. We're going to. Well, you got a man. Y'all can go with me. I can deal with the two. I can deal with the two lovey-dovey. Wales, too selfish. Scotland, too loud. Well, if you watch WWE, you know that the Scots like what's the redhead guy? Sheamus, he's very loud. Turkey, oh, the men in Turkey are too sweaty. Maybe it's because they're too hairy. I've seen a really, now I like hair, but I've seen a lot of men that are of Turkish descent and they're very, very sweaty. And oh, but then they say Russia has hairy. Not from the videos I've seen, they're not hairy. Those guys are smooth. Are shaved. Okay, so here's the final results of the world's best lovers. And think, you know what? America didn't even make the list. Ken Boggle says, I ain't playing with Greece. They throw plates and dance nonstop. I ain't got time for that. Do they really? I don't. Well, I could tell you my Greek male story, but I won't. Too sordid. So, world's best lovers, number one, and I could almost guess this. I was gonna go to somewhere in South America, but Spain gets the number one ranking for best male lovers. Latinos are still are in right now. Two, Brazil. Let's see, I guess that's South America. So yeah, I can see Brazil. I've seen a lot of attractive, and not even just men and women both. I have some clients when I lived in Atlanta, and they were so gorgeous, both of them. It was a gorgeous couple. They had gorgeous kid, but they were just hard to look at. They were so attractive, but they didn't speak a word of English, and they were needy, but they spent a lot of money. Number three, Italy. I can see that. Number four is France. And somebody told me that the French love some black people. You know, that whole Eartha Kitt thing. And what's the other chick that went there that danced around with the bananas around her butt? What's her name? Oh, somebody help me. They had a movie about, wasn't Dorothy Dandridge. I was with some Greeks for 2 weeks and they were cray. That's what Ken Boggle says. Who's the chick that danced around with Josephine Baker? Josephine Baker, you know, they so the blacks love the I mean the French love the blacks, so I might have to go to France. I sense a religion, but I heard they're smelly too. It didn't make the list, but I heard they're smelly. Number five on the best male lover list was Ireland. Number six, South Africa. All right, taking it to the motherland. Number seven, Australia. Number eight, New Zealand. Number nine, Denmark. And number 10, Canada. You know, how does Canada make the list and we don't? The United States doesn't make the list. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, that. You know, Celine Dion's from Canada. I can't see that being all that great up there. If we're taking sex tips from her, no wonder they made the list. Oh, maybe it was a Celine thing. You know, she's part of the Illuminati, so they say. Anyhow, no. So, those are your lists: Spain, Brazil, Italy, France, Ireland, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Denmark, and Canada. That's your world's best male lovers. So I think if I had a country to go to, which I haven't traveled internationally yet, I wouldn't mind going to Brazil, or Spain even, because I speak Spanish. France, of course, France, but I don't speak French. And oh, and definitely Australia, although I couldn't go over there. Did Serena Williams win tonight? Does she play tonight? I'll have to look on watch ESPN Sports. Because they get way too hot. I had to go in the winter because they get way too hot in Australia. It's like 115 degrees over there right now. And they're playing the Australian Open is going on this week. And well, this week and next week. But the rest, you know, Canada, it doesn't. So yeah, I would choose like Brazil, France, and Australia, and then I can come back and give you my report. But I think they need to do a gay version of this report because I'm sure gay men have a different take on it than women. most definitely they have a different take on it than women do. So what else are we talking about? Let's see. Oh, did you see on I love Instinct Magazine. If you guys haven't visited their website, instinctmagazine.com, they have all the latest LGBT news and hot topics and things like that. It's just so I'm on there every day, and plus they also have a lot of juicy gossip and pictures. But the other day there was a black couple that has three children, a black gay couple that has three children, two girls, one boy, and they tweeted a picture of both the guys in the bathroom shirtless. But this, you know, you walk around your house, you know, shirt like guy does, shirtless, and they're very nice looking men, and one of them's doing a selfie and the other one's doing this little girl's hair, and black Twitter went crazy. They said it was an abomination. Of course, all that Sherry Shepherd must have been on that. But it's unfortunate. And you know, like I said earlier on the drive episode today, the family looks very well taken care of. They look very, very happy. So it was on Instagram. So if you go to Cordell and Caleb, you can see all the pictures, or you can go to instinct.com. It's one of the featured stories. Cordale, the letter N, Caleb. Maybe I'll reach out to them and see if they want to do an interview. That could be interesting. David from the 5x5, your investigative reporter. Not really. But no, to me, I think it's a very innocent image. I used to do my niece's hair, you know, when she was little. But I don't think anything's wrong with it. I think that scares people that because they don't think we can have normal family lives. You know, how many screwed up heterosexual families are out there that end up kind of crazy? So people are crazy. People are stupid. So check them out. Check that article out on Instinct's website. What's your ha 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 for Ken? Another quick break. We'll be back.
And down, girl, you cold-hearted. Let me see your resume. Let's get it started. And you got that super tongue in your ass so fat it's retarded. Pardon, I just won't whip it then park it. All I need is a swig of the Dawkins. Then I'ma dog it off and ballin'. Shit on the offense, drinkin' with Prince with the Dawkins. Feeling them softly, like bitch I'm this shit. And you nosey, step out my outfit, pippin' in motion. Your pussy, I own it. Ain't gotta be mine for me to control it. I'm all in your zone, it. Like, what did you want it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that song is the tune. And yes, I play it a lot, but I'm going to continue to play it a lot because I like it. Catch it. Okay. Thank you guys for staying tuned, or if you're tuned, or when you listen to it. You know what? There's a movie that I want to see, and I just come up on my Apple TV. I have a little, the screensaver is movie posters. It's kind of cool, and it's called I, Frankenstein. I want to see that movie for some reason. Don't ask me why. I just want to see it. It seems interesting, but you know, like anything, it's kind of sci-fi, so maybe that's the reason why. Let's see. So, welcome back. And I was going to talk about the guy who outed Aaron Schock. And, you know, there's kind of controversy about it, some talk. I've even talked about it on my show when it happened. You know, Aaron Schock is the GOP representative for one of the districts in Illinois. And he's really supposedly anti-gay. He's voted against a lot of anti-gay measurement. I mean, gay rights measurements. And, you know, just all in out just oppose anything gay. But supposedly, allegedly, he's gay himself because Ite Hod, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm just going to say Ite or Ite Hod, says that he knew of somebody whose roommate was caught in the shower with him. And it was another guy. But the guy's got an amazing body. If you see some of the pictures, he did a spread for Men's Fitness. They said that was gay. And the pictures are really, really funny because he's, you know, all buffed out. But, you know, can a straight guy be buffed out if he wants to be? Because there's plenty of them. I guess this can't do it in modeling skimpy. I guess it really wasn't skimpy, but workout close. Anyhow, so the controversy was that was it the media's responsibility to out people. And the person who outed him, Ite Hod, said that, you know, he had no shame in him because the way how he's behaving, I guess he was trying to expose the hypocrisy of some of these in the closet GOP leaders that want to be the first people to jump up and say no to gay rights or things of that nature. And but yet and still in their private lives, you know, they're the first ones throwing their legs up in the air. Oops. But anyhow, the person, this is a guy that I like his blog a lot. I read his blog a lot. It's called Boy Culture. And his name is Adam. I can't think of his last name, but I'm on his Twitter too. But he says he agrees with him. He said the media has an obligation to expose an anti-gay politician who is secretly gay. Just as they have an obligation to expose any other hypocrisy exhibited by an office holder. Which I think I agree with that. But I also said before that I was kind of drug out of the closet, and you guys heard my story a long time ago, because I wasn't ready to come out. I was halfway out, but wasn't all. But then I was drug out by somebody who was in the closet trying to expose me and trying to make me look crazy, but it ended up being the other way around. It liberated me. It just made his life more difficult. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there at this point. They also say that he would only add that outing should not be reserved as punishment. It shouldn't even be thought of as outing. And I guess maybe. This is just a lot of gossip. They said, unless you're haunting U.S. Weekly and TMZ coming in on every post to say how dreadful it is that they're reporting on who stars are dating, if you only stop to be outraged when it comes to reporting someone's same-sex love life, you may think you're coming from a place of empathy, but you're just reinforcing homophobia, lending credence to the thought that being gay is unspeakable. So I guess everybody's coming around saying it's okay, but I don't think Aaron Schock has made any, I think he said it was a lie, but I don't think he's made any other comments on the issue. So it's neither here nor there. I guess I'm tired because I'm kind of blah, blah, blah all night tonight. But that's okay. It's my show. I can talk the way I want to talk. Okay, enough of that. Let's do something fun. Are you an A-type personality? We use it in conversation all the time, generally followed by a knowing chuckle or nod of the head. Type A has become a pop psychology buzzword and a catch-all descriptor for the more driven, anxiety-prone go-getters among us. We all have some sense of what it suggests, but the actual meaning of legitimacy of type A behavior theory are less well known. Type A is a shorthand way of referring to a predisposition that people have. It's not like there are type A's and then there are type B's, but there is a continuum that as you're more on the type A side of the spectrum, you're more driven and tend to be impatient and competitive and get irritated easily by impediments to your progress on things. So they give you a list, I think it's 16 things. If you possess these qualities, mean you might. Here are 16 signs that you're a little or a lot type A. Waiting in long lines kills you a little bit inside. I don't think that's necessarily true of me. I don't think I really care to wait in lines because sometimes doing things in Georgia, if there's anything that's popular, you're going to wait. Like getting into a club, you're going to wait in a long line. If it's a hot club, you're going to wait. You know, I've waited outside to get into a club for about an hour before. So I'm not, that doesn't faze me. So, but it says type A's are deeply irked by anything that slows their progress or needlessly keeps them from getting things done. And when it comes to halting your momentum, there are a few things worse than long, slow moving lines. I can see that, but I guess I don't possess that quality. You've been described as a perfectionist, overachiever, workaholic, or all the above. I have been called a perfectionist. Remember back this summer when I was having not having problems with my coworkers, I was just being irritated by my coworkers' lack of ambition and doing the job correctly. I walk in and one of my coworkers says, "You always have to be so perfect," because he had did something completely wrong that could have cost somebody their lives, and I pointed it out, and he called me Mr. Perfection. So yeah, I have been called that before, which is fine. You bite your nails or grind your teeth. No, I don't do either because I think that's nasty. You have a serious phobia of wasting time. Now, I do that, you know, because I plan, you know, normally when I have something to do, I plan it out, you know, not like to the minute or whatever, but I do plan a lot. And when somebody comes in and they're not part of the plan and they try to mix the plan up and stop the plan in motion, that irritates me, you know. So, and I don't want you to waste my time. I don't like talking about a whole bunch of nonsense. Let's just get to it, get it done, because most people that I converse with, they irritate me in my real life, like at work, and get to the point and leave. You know, so I do possess that too. I don't like wasting time because I'm highly conscious. You know, you're highly conscientious. You may get stressed and anxious more often than others, but it's because you really care. In all areas of your life, it's important for you to stay on top of things and make sure it all gets done. Yeah, that's true. I'm that way. I'm really like that at work. And here's the thing. Like, you know, I took the day off and... Oh, you keeping count, Ken. Thank you. The grandpa I'll leave. I haven't even got to five yet. The website was, I didn't even tell you, I was on the HuffingtonPost.com. No, but I had a little bit of anxiety about taking today off because a lot of stuff happens on Friday I do, because I know if I don't do it, it won't be done correctly, and then it causes me problems in my job. So hopefully tomorrow when I go to work, I don't go until two tomorrow. I know it won't be done, but I hope nobody tried to do it, and I hope everything was done correctly, because if not, it's going to give me a really bad headache, and I'm going to be pissed off. So I can prescribe to that theory of being conscientious. You've always been a bit of a catastrophist. But a lot of times you don't feel fine. You can't help but worry about the future and dwell on the worst possible outcome. I do that. I really do. But I think for me, that's a way to protect not only my heart but my mind. If I think of some bad outcomes and it's not as bad as I'm kind of thinking it's going to be, then the hurt, it still happens, but not as bad. But the hurt, the blow is not as severe. I don't know if people do that, but I do that. This is a good one. You frequently talk over and interrupt people. I do that sometimes because most time I don't think people have. Some people don't have anything interesting to say, or nothing interesting ever comes out of their mouth. Like with my coworkers, because I think they're all stupid. I know that's really, really bad and judgmental, but I know these people and they are stupid. And I that's th and that's one of the reasons why I took the day off, because I just needed the day away from my coworkers because they were stressing me out so bad from the top to the bottom. They was all stressing me out and I got tired of dealing with them. And every time they open their mouth, they throw out something stupid, then I had to correct them and then I'm a bitch, you know. But it says, not on purpose, of course. You mean well and you do care about what people have to say, but you still find yourself cutting off your friends and acquaintances in order to make your points and advance the conversation. That's true. But I do it more, not with my friends. I normally do it with, 'cause all my friends, they're a lot like me. We're all type A personalities. And sometimes, and we all know it, so we'll check each other like, all right, you're doing a little bit too much over there. You need to bring that on down. So we check each other and it works out. But with people who come into the group that don't really know us, they're like, wow, you guys are vicious. I'm like, no, this is how we communicate. And it's all love, you know, but yeah, so we're all the same way. You have a hard time falling asleep at night. Duh, the 5x5 late night show. And I don't go to bed at fa here recently. I haven't been going to bed till 5 o'clock in the morning, which is crazy. What's that you do, Ken? Interrupt people. Trying to wait to see what Ken says that he does. Kenny. He says he does that. I don't know what that is. Oh, what do you do? You said, yeah, what do you do? We'll go on. 'Cause I think it's a little delay from what you can hear, what I'm saying, what you can hear on the website. You have a hard, like I said, you have a hard time falling asleep at night. Type A's tend to do well on frustrations and worries, which is true, and it can keep them up at night. No, not to do well, to dwell on frustration and worries. Sometimes I do. If you have a type A tendency, there's a good chance that a troubling event or conversation makes your brain go into overdrive when your head hits the pillow. I totally agree with that 100%. People can't keep up with you in conversation or on the sidewalk. Well, I'm gonna give that a 50-50 because I do speak really fast to get my point across because I don't want to explain myself again. So I say it fast, and you need to pay attention real quick, or I'm going. Like on my show, I had to tell myself, David, slow down. You're talking way too fast, and you just need to bring it on down and pause and breathe and pause and breathe. Speak. Pause, you know, stuff like that in my head, 'cause that's how psycho I am. And but when I'm walking, like tonight, because it was cold, I was walking fast getting to the store. But normally I talk fast, walk slow. So I'm gonna give that 50-50. You put more energy into your career than your relationships. Well, since I work more than I date, I would have to say yes. As a type A, your natural tendency is to focus on measurable achievements like grades or promotions. So while your relationships are extremely important to you, it's easy to slip into a single-minded focus on work or school at the expense of the rest of your life. That's true. I used to have a good friend that used to tell me I worked too much because I did. I used to work really long hours because I was responsible for a lot of stuff. Oh, Ken Bogus says he interrupts everyone. Well, you never interrupted me. I don't think I have to listen back to one of the crew shows and see if you've interrupted Donovan or I. Type A. And but he's like, Dave, you only need to work to live. You shouldn't live to work. But I still work a lot, like, around the holidays. And even now I've been, working two, three extra shifts during, a week. And the money is good and everything, but I do work more. But I think that's for something else, because I'd rather work. Well, I'm not even going to say that, but yeah, that's true. Relaxing can be hard work for you. No, I do enjoy my downtime. I just don't get enough of it. So I'm not saying I don't possess that one. You have a low time. Oh my God, this is a big one for me. If you listened to one of my very, very, very first podcasts, I think you can see it on. There's a show under the 5x5 umbrella of shows called the 5x5 Replay, a Rewind or something. I called it something. It's like one of the very first ones. It was on Blog Talk Radio, and it was called "Do Your Job." And like I said, this is the problem I have. Not only I was before, I just kind of stuck with this job because I need the flexibility for my mother. I was an optician, and I'm an optician by trade. I've done it for a very long time, but. When I moved back to town, my old company that I worked for found out that I was in town, so they called me because I had dropped some hints there and I didn't think they needed anybody, but they called me like, we need your expertise, we need you. And but I couldn't get along with the people that worked there because they were so incompetent. They had been doing things wrong for so long, they had gotten that groove that nobody could tell them it was right. So when I come in, I'm like, well, that's wrong. And then the only answer that this bitch could give me, she would say, well, that's how we always done it. That's how we've always done a particular task for the job. I'm like, well, you've always done it wrong. This is how you do it. And then she wants to go all crazy and say, no, you're not right. And then because she didn't believe me, because a black man can't tell a white woman what, well, I guess they can sometimes, but she was from an area that mindset was there, and she was just appalled that I would say anything to her that was in direct opposition to what she was saying. That's because you were wrong. Again, I don't like being right. I just am. Especially, I'm not going to open my mouth about something if I don't think it's true. If I don't, not that if I think it's true, if I don't know it's true. And she just couldn't handle it. We had issues, and you made me. I'm like, okay, I don't need this job anyhow. I was helping y'all out. And if they don't send my tax stuff by the 31st, they will be getting sued. That's all I'm telling you. We'll report to the IRS. No, God worked it partly there in 2013, but yeah, she couldn't. She'd always had to go to a third party to ask if I was right. Nobody else in the building could answer the question because there was what, four of us in the laboratory. One, no, one, two, three, four, five of us, and I was a new addition. But they thought that since I was a new addition, that I didn't know as much as them. But I'm like, I started this company when it was in its inception. I was one of the one people here. Y'all was still, pissing in your diapers, and you're wrong. You need to listen. So they didn't want to listen. And so one day I told them collectively, together, y'all don't have as much experience as I have. Shut up and listen. But they didn't. I was the only black person working there. And when I first started there, they start hiding this anti-Obama hate flyers that they had laying around the lab, and I happened to find one. I'm like, what's this? I'm like, this is childish. And you're trying to hide. That's how you feel. That's how you feel. But it's hate and it's ignorance and it's bigotry. Stop it. But they did get rid of that stuff. But they were crazy. And well, I ain't gonna get to that because I could really get them in some trouble, but I won't. Anyhow, moving right along. So it says you have a low tolerance for incompetence. Traditionally, type A's were described as angry and hostile, but psychologists have contested whether predisposition to hostility is really a part of the equation. But it is agreed that type A's are driven and goal-oriented above all else, which means they can be less accepting than others when it comes to anything that gets in their way or any person who doesn't have the same sense of urgency. I wouldn't say the same sense of urgency. It's just the if you're incompetent, I have a problem with it. But because ignorance is okay. I don't mind somebody who's ignorant, because people who are ignorant means that they're without knowledge. You can learn. Anybody can learn. I have a bigger problem with stupidity, because if you rebuke learning and you're not receptive to it, then that makes you stupid, not ignorant. Anyhow, so the next one is you'd be lost without your to-do list. When I'm at work, I make a lot of lists. I've just bought a new pad because my pad of paper was completely used up. And I use a pad. I used to use a pad for my show. I had to write everything down that I wanted to say, but now I just do it on the computer. Well, I guess it's still a list. I email myself all the stuff that I have to do. So one email by one, and I name them all. Now click on that email, open it up, and that's what I'll do. But I don't, that's just how I do. So I do make to-do lists. At work, everything is urgent. I'm not urgent, because if I think sometimes when you rush, you make mistakes. I'm probably slower normally because I'm thorough and I check things over and over again, and that's part of more of my OCD than anything else. And the last one, oh, not the last one. This is the second to last one, I think. Yeah, second to last one. This is you're sensitive to stress. Yeah, I have to say that I am sensitive to stress. Friedman's pioneering research defined type A behavior as fundamentally high stress. You may experience stress more intensely than others seem to, and either internalize or externalize it in response. These type of stress-prone personalities and behaviors have been linked with high blood pressure and increased risk of heart. Well, I need to stop all that, because my stress, I internalize a lot. When people, if I don't bawl somebody out, which I'm, I've gotten better at. I'm not so off, Cause you say something, come at me sideways, you're getting something a lot harsher back. But now I'm just like, okay, I'm not dealing with it, and I internalize it. So I think that does kind of build more stress. And I know I have high blood pressure because I have headaches all the time. But I have a stressful living situation as well, Cause carrying, there was a on the Today Show, I want to say, or one of those kind of new shows, they were talking about how one particular reporter, she made the decision to move her parents into her because her father had health issues. And she was saying it's just difficult when you transition from being the son or daughter into being, the parent figure, because you're the caregiver. And my mom and I talked about this the other day, and I said, well, actually this morning, I said, do you feel like that? And she's like, well, you always take control over stuff. I'm like, that's because I have to, because I need to know that you're okay. And so I realized that, and that's where my stress level comes, because I know there's a part of her that doesn't want to give up that control, and so but then I fight it, and so that's where my stress comes from. That, so it's not like it's a bad stress, but it's stress, and it's heightened, and I'm always fussing. She's like, it's so funny because it sounds like a kid. Like today, I was like, get your coat. Put that on. Why are you doing that? And she said, stop fussing at me. I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry, because I was barking orders like I was the mama or the daddy, and she didn't particularly. I was like, here, give me your purse, put your coat on. What are you doing that for? Put that on. I'm like, and then in my head, I'm like, okay, stop it. But I think there is a transition, or it comes a point in time when you actually become the parent figure. You're never going to be your parents' parent, but you're going to be their caregivers. Like my friend whose mother had passed away, she had moved her mother in with her as well. And she said the key to having a stressful, problem-free environment when you're living with your elderly parents and caring for them is act like they're still, don't let them think they're still in control. And for me, I guess that type A personality of mine, I can't, because when you're not in control, you're not in control, and I don't need you to think you're in control, and that's where problems come. I'm in control. I'm going to make the decision on that, and I just need you to fall in line. That's just how I operate. And the last one is you make it happen. And I kind of pride myself on that. I try to make things happen. And when I talk to people, whether it's regarding my mother's health or work or something personal with me that I'm trying to get something, I always say, well, let's just make it happen. You know, I don't care what you have to do to make it happen. Let's make it happen. You know, we need that. Let's make it happen. You know, when I'm, you know, doing some work and something needs to be done, I'll call like another staff or executive management. I was like, we need to make this happen. When can it happen? You know, stuff like that. So I say that a lot. But I don't think that's not a bad thing. That means I want things to be accomplished and be right and get done. And because I think I'm helping, and I may not be, but but I think I am. So I want to take that. So I guess after looking at the whole type A personality list, I guess I have to say I'm a type A personality. But I kind of knew that already. That didn't surprise me much, because I knew I was kind of type A personality and crazy stress. Alrighty, people, let's see. Let's play us one more song, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap some things up. We'll be right back.
Something special, it's not a question, not just some. suggestion.
I know.
There's our trigger song. We're wrapping up. Thank you guys for listening to me ramble a little bit tonight. I figured out that I am a type A personality, but I kind of knew that anyhow. But don't forget about the Trevor Wayne interview on Wednesday, 1:30. Look for the information where you can go. You can hear it at, or you'll be able to hear it on Spreaker Wednesday night live. But we'll be talking to him live 1:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Check him out, trevorwayne.net, trevorwayne.net. What else? I don't think I have anything else. Thank you guys. Check out the Facebook page, check out the blog, check out Tumblr. We will see you next time. You have a great weekend, because even though I had a day off today, I gotta go back to work tomorrow, so I better go to bed. Good night, everybody.